Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. And I'm getting punchy today. I don't know. It's Thursday, gearing up for the weekend, tons of baseball happening. If it might ever stop raining, maybe, I don't know. But more importantly, we've got to change that intro because we have our co-host back with us for the Best Ever You Show. We have Dr. Katie Eastman. I almost feel like I need an applause button, Katie. Hi.
Thank you. What a nice intro.
How's it going?
It's nice to be here.
Yeah.
It's going fine. Today is Callie's 10th birthday, and I don't know if any other parents out there can relate to this, but I'm very weepy.
Oh, I can. I go. Tell, you know, for those listening, you might have to tell who Callie is.
Callie is my 10-year-old daughter who we adopted from China 8.5 years ago. So birthdays are very special. She's our only child. We spoil her rotten. And we just love her to pieces. And every birthday is just really magical. And this is no exception. And it's a new one because she's here in Washington now as opposed to Maine. She's missing her old friends but has new ones. So it's, you know, it's life. It's endings and new beginnings.
Change, yeah. And how are you? I'm thinking of birthday party. I'm thinking of yesterday's phone call with Roberta Cause Wilson with cookies, pies, cakes. We forgot ice cream yesterday, you know, out of all the sugary treats we were talking about. That was hilarious, wasn't it? By the end of that phone call, I was so darn hungry. I went to the grocery store and I fought, because I've been on the sugar detox, I fought to not buy just chocolate chips and come home and make cookies. I was so hungry. Isn't that funny? What are you doing this weekend?
We're taking her to a Japanese restaurant tonight. She's always wanted to go to a live Japanese, and I don't know, remember what it's called, forgive me, but, you know, Eleanor, you might know because you're from the West, but she's going to have her chosen family, some people that we've made friends with here who are coming, and so we're going to do that, and I'm purposely doing things that don't have me making anything sweet or sugary because I've lost 19 pounds out of that today.
There's the applause.
Ooh, congratulations.
Awesome? Yeah, we can hear our guest. We have a very special guest with us. We have one of our most wonderful Motivation Marathon speakers with us. We have Eleanor Stutz, and Eleanor is the founder of Smooth Sail. And welcome, Eleanor. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I'm having a great time listening about the birthday party and going to a Japanese restaurant.
Which one? Is it, Katie, is it Shogun by any chance? Do they still have that?
No, it's something like that. It's a local version of that. And they make the food right in front of you, and apparently they do crazy things like put the food in your mouth, and they make it a real fun event. And so I'm looking forward to it. And certainly the food will be healthy. That was an important piece, too.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. All right. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say your daughter's going to have a wonderful time.
She is. She really is. And I just feel very blessed when you make change, and everybody on this phone call knows this, when you make change and you're starting to create new friends and friendships, having an event like this where you have new friends to share it with, that means a lot. That really does.
Oh, yeah. That's a great way to break the ice, too, when you move somewhere. And I remember when we moved here from California to Maine, one of our sons had a birthday party, and we had a huge Halloween type of party in the garage, and we painted pumpkins and had bats hanging. And so it definitely broke the ice, though, moving to a new place. And still to this day, like 8 years later, people always say, remember that party?
Aww.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So let's change the focus here because, you know, we could sit here. Katie and I can gab all day long. We just gab back and forth. So we need to stop. Right, Katie? An hour will have passed and we'll be like, we had a guest on. So Eleanor is the founder of Smooth Sail, and it's smoothsail.net if you're following along on the computer. And I would love to, Eleanor, hear about this vision that you had when you were at Stanford Hospital lying on a stretcher with a broken neck.
Oh, thank you. It was quite remarkable, and it began that I did have a broken neck, and I'd like to tell the audience, sometimes we think, oh, my God, you know, this is the end of whatever I'm doing, and in my case, the end of my life. But then I caught myself to think positively, and that's the key word here is positive thought. And so I decided, well, it's my time to get well because I had severe neck pain for 10 years after being badly rear-ended. So there I was on the stretcher, and I had one of those visions that happen to other people that you read about but never to you, and it was in the form of a report card. And on the left-hand side, I had high life marks, which I was proud of, but that lasted a nanosecond. On the right-hand side, I was deeply embarrassed. My report card showed a blank sheet, and it was entitled Community Service. So from that moment, I made a vow that should I walk out of the hospital, I would begin giving back to communities at large. I didn't know how that would look like because I had just finished being in the corporate world and had not started my business yet, so I had no clue. And then once I made that pledge, a second vision came up, and the next thing I noticed, and I've only just started talking about this because I needed to find out the meaning of it, gold light came over my entire body, and I saw this generic figure standing on a mound appearing to talk to audiences. And I heard a voice say, do you believe that could be you? And I said, well, I always wanted to be a speaker, but that looks like a generic person, maybe male-like. I don't know that that's me. And the voice came back a little stronger and said, do you believe you will be well? At which point I heard my family sobbing, hearing the news I was to be paralyzed. And I said, I definitely want to walk out of here, but my family's sobbing. I'm having this talk with my internal self. And the third time, the voice came back to me and said, this is it. Do you believe you're going to grow into becoming that speaker and that you're going to walk out of this hospital? At which point, I fervently said, yes. And with that, the vision and the golden light dissipated. And then my family came over. And I said to them, oh, don't worry, I'm going to be fine. They must have thought I was delirious. So that's the story of the two visions.
Huh. And Katie, go for it. I can hear you.
Oh, wow. Just so wonderful. I mean, I do end-of-life work with families, and one of the things that just really struck me about your story is it's the near-death experience of change, of when someone comes back with a new conviction. And you so beautifully described it as that inner voice that you have these conversations with when you can hear what's going on around you. And what an amazing transformation.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I mean, it's 10 and a half years now. And looking back, I did actually grow into becoming that speaker. And my message is help communities as you build your business. It's vitally important, and that way more people benefit from the work you do.
Mm. You know, we had a guest on yesterday. I was talking about her when we started the show. We had Roberta Cause-Wilson on, who does Cookies for a Cause. And she, there's an example of helping community through your business. 10% of their proceeds go to the Starlight Foundation.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, is that sort of what you mean?
Well, there's so many different ways to give. One of my favorite quotes that I learned is we're all teachers and we're all mentors. And so my belief is, as an entrepreneur, it's a continual commitment to education, to keep improving. And as you learn, reach out and help those coming up behind you. So my way of doing that is writing books, writing articles, and a blog for other people to pick up the information, even tweets. So it doesn't have to cost you money. You don't have to put money out. You can do it that way through writing and speaking. Or The other way to do it is to, you know, develop collaborations, brainstorm with people. And for me, what I started doing, I should add that night, I told you previously when I was in the hospital, I did not have my business yet. I couldn't move. I had this halo on my head. It was hammered into my forehead, but I felt no pain. I was so excited about what happened. I wrote my business plan mentally in ICU. And the next morning, I was so excited when I met the surgeon. He said I would be paralyzed. And I shot back at him using sales skills. I couldn't move. I locked my eyes on his and mirrored him and said, when I wake up, I expect to be well. And the last thing I remember was him jumping backwards. So power conviction. So what I included in that business plan that night was I became an expert through my corporate experience on interviewing. Early on, I saw it follow the sales cycle. So when I was well and formally began my business, I started helping groups of job seekers understand how to sell themselves on interviews. And they all wrote, not all, but many wrote notes of thanks saying they landed the job that they always wanted because of that. So that's my community service primarily. And now I still help groups of job seekers. And when the economy fell, I saw it was time to write the book Hired. So also to help people. So any way that you can think of it creatively, it doesn't have to involve money, but any way you can help groups of people, by all means do it. The reward's tremendous.
You know, it's amazing. In our last, just the last week, all of our shows, everyone has said similar things about taking their pain, making it into purpose, and using their skills, their gifts, and their talents to help others. And their businesses have grown. Their personal lives have flourished. They've thrived. I mean, Eleanor, why do you think that is?
I think because you're finally shoved to the wall. And, you know, all the fear, all the negative talk around you or inside your head is just thrown away because you have the power, I guess, the wanting desire to succeed. And suddenly you grow into the person that you should have been all along. And, you know, in fact, one of the things that helped me most was that I told my husband I can no longer allow negative-minded people into our home. And, you know, one too many came in, and that was it. And you know what? I was far more motivated to keep on doing what I needed to do work-wise once I laid that rule in place. And I found it very motivating just to associate with positive-minded people.
Did you, when you did that, did you hurt anybody's feelings? Because we talk a lot about that on Best Ever You. Sometimes you have to realign yourself with different people, and it may be a completely different group of people than you're hanging around with right now. It might even be family members that are being negative. You know, it just depends.
You hit the nail on the head. Yeah, the last person was a relative, and it was just so objectionable to me. That was it. There was silence for 2 years. It's just starting to come back a little bit. But, you know, I had to do what I had to do. More important to me than having that relationship is having self-respect. I think that needs to come first for other people to respect you, and I was demanding respect.
Yeah, they'll come back if it's meant to be. They might have to grow some of their own self-respect and self-love and self-worth on the way.
Exactly. So we shall see. And some of it, yes, we're, you know, friends for many years and, you know, moved to a new town, love it dearly, and the priorities are so different here. I feel far more comfortable. So wherever you are, you have to find your comfort level where you know you're going to thrive, and I think just feel good inside and out about who you are and what you're doing on Earth.
Yeah. How are you feeling these days? Are you hurt from the accident still, or are you fine, or how does that linger, an accident like that?
Oh, that's very kind of you to ask. Energetically, I have more than ever. I just feel like I've been empowered. I don't have quite as much neck movement, but it doesn't hurt at all, and I sleep well. So can't ask for more than that.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a heck of an accident. What happened again? I know we've talked about this before in Motivation Marathon, so I know it might feel a little bit like repeating yourself, but you were in a car accident.
Right. Initially, I was at a red light waiting to have a pleasant afternoon off, and a young mother had two young kids in the back seat, and she was turned around talking to them, ignoring the standstill traffic, and she slammed full force into me.
Isn't it?
Go ahead.
Well, isn't it fascinating how your life can change in a moment?
You just never know, and that's why I realize it's so important to make the most of each and every day and also appreciate each and every day because we never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It's a scary thought, but I do. You know, I admire the sun. I'm happy when it rains because California needs rain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just enjoy all of it the best you can.
Yeah, I think a lot about life-changing moments. When I know you and I kind of share that life-altering moment where, you know, I've been resuscitated before from food allergies. We've talked about that before, but I just think about those life-altering moments where one moment you're fine and the next you're not, and how you have a choice of how you want to be, right then and there.
Yes, you do. And for me, it was to take action. I wasn't done yet. And I'm so glad you were talking about your 10-year-old daughter. My daughter's going to get married next year, and we're so excited. Imagine if I weren't here to celebrate that.
That's okay. Oh, yeah. She's so cute, Callie. And congratulations on your daughter. That is just neat.
That is.
Thank you.
Yeah. Isn't that, you sound like a proud mom.
I am.
You guys, we're all just proud moms here. How many kids do you have, Eleanor?
I have two. We have a son and a daughter, and the son is about 15 months older, and I think he's feeling a little pressure now. But they're both good kids, and we're very proud of them.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. Yeah. They, you know, back to, you know, like, Katie, you, what do you think about life-changing moments? I was kind of hoping you would chime in and share some wisdom there.
I just think there are so many opportunities in crisis that we have to make a choice to shift our life in some way to make it better. And I think what's really powerful to me and what Eleanor is saying, and I want to ask her this question. You said a couple things that really resonated with me, but you talked about positive thoughts and you talked about conviction. And I think it's so important. We all have those life-changing moments where we get to make choices that have to do with our integrity. And I wanted to ask you, in the business world, what are some of those moments that happen in the business world where you have that, you're up against that, do I or don't I?
I have two great stories to tell you, if that's okay.
Absolutely, yes.
The first was I was in a very blue-collar office selling an unknown brand of copier door-to-door. I was not welcomed in that office, given the silent treatment, no training. And because I didn't know how to sell, I just went and made friends with people. So I was the top producer by the fourth month. The fifth month, the sales manager said, okay, if Eleanor makes her numbers again, boys, we're going to go to a lingerie fashion show. And I was horrified, and I said, what about a movie or a ball? I'll even go to a ball game or a lunch. Nope. Lingerie fashion show, and this place he was talking about was attached to a motel on the wrong side of the freeway, so you knew what went on there. So my husband wasn't going to touch this one. He said, it's your decision. The day came, and the manager said, okay, guys, which one of you are coming to the lingerie fashion show? I was the first one at the desk, slammed my fist on the table and said, count me in. And he said, you can't come. And I said, it's my numbers. You bet I'm going to come. So he turned beet red, was really angry. I left for the morning. I still didn't know what I was going to do, to tell you the truth, but I found my car driving me to the lingerie fashion show. I walked in after it got started. They were seated at a very long table, and I sat down, and throughout the entire fashion show, I shouted out questions about copiers. I didn't let any of them relax and enjoy the show. At the end of it, the manager said, "Eleanor, do you play poker?" And with a big smile, I said, "Yes, and I always win." And so that was the end of the nasty tricks. It was almost, you know, like an initiation there. It was horrible. And the reason I never quit, there was harassment going on the whole time. I had teenagers at home, and I wanted to be a good role model and knew I couldn't quit. That's what was going on. And then finally, that last corporate career job, I was selling a pilot program for advertising on cell phones when they first came out and began to connect to the Internet. I didn't have to sell anything, and I was making good living. I felt I finally had made it. I had the biggest advertising agencies lined up to buy, and I began to notice the person who was responsible for putting the servers in place was avoiding me. It was cubicle days, so instead of going around the cubicle the normal way where he'd dash out, I went around the long way, caught him at his desk, and he couldn't look me in the eye, at which point I said, "This service may or may not be put into place. Is that correct?" And he sort of nodded. And I said, "So you're just waiting for the money up front. Is that correct?" And he kind of mumbled. And I went back to my desk, wrote up my resignation letter. But before I walked out the door, I called every single client lined up to buy. And I said, "I just quit this exciting project. After we hang up, I want you to take a few minutes to contemplate why that might be." And they all got the message. And I walked out with a very clear conscience, because if I knew if I was ever going to sell anything again, I had to maintain my integrity. And I was very glad I did that. It felt good when I walked out.
You know, that's a really key word right there in all of that, is integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Important. It follows you around, doesn't it? Integrity.
It does. I have a tweet going out: when you stick to your story, when you stick to your story, you never have to change it.
I like that.
Wow.
It's actually worded better than that.
I like that, though, just as is. But, you know, Deb Scott and I were having, you know, a conversation, because, you know, we co-host the Motivation Marathon and so forth, and we were having a chat about how important integrity is. Just if any, mm-hmm. if there's ever anything either one of us ever wanted to be known for, it would be that. You
yes,
know.
That's what.
Yeah,
that's it. That's what the tweet is. I'm sorry. When you move with integrity, you never have to change your story.
Yeah.
Mm.
I love that.
Well, and you bring up a great point of standing up for your integrity can be challenging all the time, but the end result is always the right result, the best result.
Right. Absolutely. So along with that crazy job and the stuff that went on there, it was very hard to forgive all that went on. So I looked for another job, you know, at the 15-month mark. And then throughout my career, that's what kept going on, because although I may have been treated better in the office, it was an embarrassment to the men that I was always the top producer, winning all the prizes and trips. So I was always motivated to move on. And as I said earlier, that, you know, sometimes that black hole brings about light. Out of it, out of that whole corporate experience that was so aggravating on so many levels, I got two best-selling books out of it, because it relates a lot of these stories to help other people get past stuff like that.
Yeah. There's the best stuff that comes out of just the crappiest situations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's unbelievable what, you know, just, you know, just what come where the finding the good in it. I'm proud of you right there too, because you know you're finding the good in something that just wasn't so much fun, and you found the
good.
No, Yeah, and
it took years.
Yeah, and finding all the good, you know, when you're sitting there, you know, with, you know, screws in your head with your neck broken, you find the good, and you're just one of those people that finds the good, and that's really what inspired me so much when you were talking on the Motivation Marathon. You could just tell that, you know, you could go through just about anything and you'd find the positive.
And you know, I wasn't always like that. I was brought up to see the negative, and it took years to overcome all of that. And as I began to change, like you said, so changes your friends. And it's something that you have to reckon with, but I get so much more enjoyment out of each day than I used to. It's remarkable.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about smoothsail.net. What do you do now? There's a lot of information on this website, smoothsail.net, and that's spelled smoothsale.net. Beautiful website, beautiful. I love that color, blue and white, and very. It's got the sailboats and everything. But what do you actually do?
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you how the name came about. My daughter's in marketing, and to her it was always easy for me to get the sale, so she called it Smooth Sail. And it began as a sales training company, because that's what I knew best at the time, where I instructed teams, you know, in the corporate environment, and then teams of entrepreneurs how to sell better. It's about building relationships. The sales motto is that people need to know you, like you, and trust you before they'll buy. So I really teach the relationship building, the etiquette that goes along with it. Sounds a little old-fashioned, but fast forward to modern day with social media, all of this applies perfectly, because you need to use those relationship building skills to attract larger audiences online and, you know, in all kinds of communication. So I can teach social media skills along with the relationship building, and over time as an entrepreneur I learned about all the different medias and medium for power branding, as I call it. And I teach business development, and in some few cases I taught how to write a book and sell more copies. Business development.
So this would be very useful if our Facebooks, we said in our statuses, you know, do you have a sales career? Contact Eleanor at smoothsail.net. And do you help sales go up? Do you help people decide whether they're really a salesperson or not? Because, you know, sometimes people aren't really cut out for sale.
No, and it actually takes a unique personality. That's a joke in our house. My husband came home one night and said, you have the personality of a salesperson, and I asked, is that a compliment or an insult? But moving forward, I can help people with that, absolutely. And what I enjoy equally is writing. I write a blog Monday through Friday. It's on my website. I send articles to a couple sites, one in particular, personalbrandingblog.com. It's highly rated, and the American Marketing Association just agreed to syndicate many of the articles. So that was very exciting. It's a collaboration of a number of authors on the career side as well as the business side. So I just love all the different things. I don't do one thing. I think I have attention deficit disorder, probably why I'm an entrepreneur. But I just have fun, and I love helping people any way I may.
That's funny. Katie, I love that. Giggling.
I love that, too. Eleanor, one of my favorite quotes is one by Marianne Williamson that says the hardest thing for us is not to achieve success, but to see ourselves as successful, and we're usually our own worst enemy. What are some of the stumbling blocks you see with people in sales, in selling anything?
Oh, yeah. First of all, when you are in sales, there's tremendous pressure on you to make the sale. And then, you know, so you start second-guessing yourself. Even as an entrepreneur, you second-guess yourself. Did you tell them everything? Did they understand it? There's a lot of competition, what'll happen if, and all the what-ifs start coming into play. The better approach I found early in my career is believing you will be successful. And should you have any lingering question, call up the client and to be an ask. And the way I used to phrase it is, I was thinking about you last night, and this came to mind. I was just curious how you felt about it. And you know what happens? Instead of them thinking you're an idiot for not having asked it up front, they think, wow, you were thinking about me last night. How cool. No one does that. And then they answer you in as full a description as you care for, and often puts you over the edge for getting the sale. So, again, it's the building of the relationship and how you phrase things that makes the difference.
I
love that.
I do, too. I just think that's perfect because everybody wants to feel like they're important.
Yeah, that's the key. And you know what? And the other thing that I found early, I'm going to give you all my secrets because I didn't know how to sell in that first job I told you about when I was invited in for an appointment. One of the first things I would ask would be, you must be so busy. Why did you invite me in today? And that would eliminate, as it turned out, a lot of BS and get to the heart of the matter. The other question I would ask is, how did you get your job? Because I was dying to get out of mine. And collectively, I picked up a lot of information. So, but it turned out it was the personal note, again, you know, people liking you. And they all said that I was a breath of fresh air in that first job. And finally, the third month, they said, if you would only bring a brochure in, we'll buy something from you. That's how I became the top producer. I called it the anti-sale.
That is so funny. Do you think, what's a typical skill set for a salesperson? Because it seems like that could be just a really awful job in a way, and I don't mean a specific job, just that type of a career, if you're really sensitive to the word no or rejection.
Oh, yeah. My feeling is when somebody tells you no, it's because you didn't communicate something correctly. So when you ask no, when they say no, you might ask, why do you say that? What's been your experience? And it's through question and answer. So my style very much is question and answer and getting the other person's perspective first. And it usually throws people off because most salespeople go in and start blabbing. As I said, I have ADD. I don't want to listen to somebody for half an hour or an hour, and neither does anyone else. And so when you go in, you're polite. And asking questions, that shows keen interest in the other person. And then they're more inclined to start confiding in you, and that's exactly what always happens.
Do you...
Go ahead. Okay. It's that authenticity we always talk about.
Yeah. I go in with no assumptions. I just go in to find out why I'm invited in, where their interest lies, and to see if I can help them. And I tell them that. I don't know if I can help you or not. Please tell me what's on your mind, why you invited me in, what your past experience has been, and how you think I might be able to help you. And then you can have a heart-to-heart conversation. So it's really about making a friend rather than making money off of somebody you don't know. And when you change that thinking, that's when the magic starts.
You know what as you're talking, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about just me having that. I've had a sales job before, and where you're sitting there and you're new. So anybody who's listening who is new to a sales position, you might be, you know, 20, you might be 40, I don't know how old you are, but new to a sales position, and they throw a bunch of cards in front of you or contacts or something and say, okay, here you go. Here's who you need to, you know, call and get business from. And you're just sitting there looking at this list of people not knowing where to begin. And it almost feels like you're going to sink or swim right there.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible that way. And in fact, I couldn't even do it on my first job. I told them, just tell me where my territory is and I'll go out and visit the parks. I'm a visual type person. So just by getting a feel of where the office was located, what it looked like inside. Now, I understand this was before 9/11, so it was a whole lot easier. I got a better feel. But once you get past it, for anybody new who has a stack of cards in front of them right now, the first few calls are terrible. You're going to stumble over your words like an idiot. But then, for some reason, you realize how bad you sound. You start laughing at yourself, at least I do, calm down, and the next call's better. And then succeeding calls get better. And this may happen the first couple of weeks. And by the third week, you start feeling better about it and just say, this is my job, and I can see I'm getting better at it. And then you just start going for it.
Yeah. How do you know if I have a theory always, and I don't know why, but maybe you can explain it. But I can't sell something I don't really genuinely like.
Absolutely. That's part of the integrity. If anybody listening is thinking about interviewing, boy, you better research that company and industry inside out to make certain you'll be comfortable selling their product or services. Because if you don't believe in it, it's going to come out in your communication. And
yeah,
people won't buy you. It just comes out. You can see it in your body language, your facial expression, everything.
I can remember the worst
I've always
job
been.
You. Oh, go ahead, Katie.
Well, I was just going to say, I've always been taught, I was taught in graduate school, you show your integrity in 3 seconds.
Probably. Yeah, and you know what I liken it to? When somebody comes to your website, they have a choice very quickly whether to read what's there or click the X at the top. Just a couple seconds. So it darn well better be good in any format.
Yeah. I think the worst job interview I ever had, this wasn't even a job, it was just the job interview, was for a pharmaceutical sales rep. And, I'm the allergy queen. I'm allergic to everything, and I don't take medications, and I wasn't interested in it, even one iota, but I needed a job. And I can remember going to the interview, and it was just dismal. The worst interview ever, and there was no way I would ever succeed at selling going into, I probably could have, but you know what I'm trying to say, I don't think I could have walked into a doctor's office and with a heart sold that to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know instantly. In fact, I didn't listen to my intuition. I will tell you this short story, it's kind of comical in the end. I met this I was in the old-fashioned business equipment industry, not making much money. High-tech just came into being, and I wanted so badly to get into it and get away from all this nonsense. So I met the manager of this new high-tech startup, and he was talking to me. I asked about compensation. He didn't bring anything in with me, so he took his dirty napkin with crumbs on it and laid out an incredible compensation plan, with small goals. It sounded too good to be true. The other thing, I mentioned body language a minute ago, whenever he made a certain type of statement like making money or it's going to be so easy, he'd do this weird jerking motion of his head where he would jerk it over to the right over his shoulder. I knew something wasn't right. So when we got up to say goodbye, I grabbed the napkin and he looked horrified. Anyways, I had the worst headache for a week. I knew I had to get out of my current job and that I went high tech, but I knew this would be a bad job working for this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I went ahead and took it just to make the leap, and it turned out to be one of the worst jobs. And he had me on performance plan the first month, if you can believe it, because I wasn't selling anything, at which point I complained about him that he was lying, so we were both called into HR. And I proudly fished out the night before that dirty napkin that was in my closet. And, again, his face went beet red when he saw it. So we were both put onto performance plan. And the irony of all this is we both quit on the same day.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. Your intuition It's funny what happens when you ignore your intuition, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't too funny.
Well,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
it's a big believer in it.
It's just the stuff that, when you ignore gut checks, the stuff that happens can be dreadful. You can even get sick. You know, stress and, you know, so many medical issues come about from just simple things like ignoring your intuition and gut.
Yep, I'm a big believer in it. I never paid attention to it before, but after my accident, that's one of the number one things I pay attention to. And I realized when you relax and allow it to work, it's almost like your subconscious works at night to make the decision for you, you know, sifting all the thoughts that you have. And by morning, you wake up with the right answer. It's amazing if you allow that to take place.
Yeah. Pausing and reflecting and just really getting in touch with what you're thinking and feeling. You know, Katie, I just am thinking about all the salespeople that could benefit from this phone call and Eleanor's expertise and her books and so forth. But I'm also thinking about Eleanor and your speaking and some of the seminars that you do. Could you talk maybe a little bit about those events?
Oh, sure. I love speaking on stage. Years ago, I took a Dale Carnegie course and absolutely was infatuated with it, but I didn't have enough information. And then about a year and a half ago, I studied with Les Brown, and that made an enormous difference for standing ovations, which feel very good. But I offer workshops on business development and or sales. I can include social media for that, and I really, really enjoy it. I give classes frequently, and on occasion I do keynotes, and that I truly, truly enjoy. And for the audience, I'd like to say something. Before I studied with Les Brown, there was like a long interim where I hadn't really taken public speaking, and when I was getting started, I was only speaking to groups of about 25, and then out of the blue, a request came to speak at a convention in front of 600 people with executives in the audience. And luckily, a speech coach had been in my last workshop of 25, so I hired her on the spot to help me get through the nerve-wracking experience I was feeling, anticipating it. And by the time I got on stage, I was very relaxed, comfortable, and again, you know, huge applause. So the point here again is say yes to opportunity and then get the help you need to make it happen successfully.
I like that. That's funny. So you don't get scared of something bigger than you, because it's those moments when things are really bigger than you that you grow. Imagine if you would have said
no. It made an enormous difference. It was unbelievable. And I could have sworn when I was talking to them on the phone, they could hear my heart beating. That's how scared I was. I thought I was going to pass out.
Oh, I even remember having my first baby, you know, and that being, you know, it's anything really, anything that's new to you in your life that you're not, you're unfamiliar with. You grow from it, but you got to get comfortable. I remember looking down at my tummy at about 6 months pregnant going, what's going to happen here exactly? You know, kind of thinking how much pain I'm going to be in, you know, just pregnancy and having kids. That's an example. Or whether it's a keynote speech that you're giving or a new job or a move or a divorce or a marriage. You know, you take anything in life, and really those are opportunities for tremendous growth.
Yes, and I finally learned to look at it that way and just say, well, we're on to another adventure.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it can't be all too horrible. I can hear you, Katie. You're on it.
Well, my dissertation was about choice points, and that throughout our lives and we make choices. And in those moments when we make choices with our integrity are the moments that we're aligned with who we really are, and that moves us forward in a positive way. It is that place that you just described so beautifully, Eleanor, when we make a choice out of fear or out of someone else's impression or someone else's idea, that we fall and we fail. And it's the getting up after those moments and saying, well, next time I'm going to choose something differently. That's just a really important lesson. And I think your lectures sound incredible for anybody, not just sales, but business in general.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's bigger than, this is all bigger than sales, for sure. It's almost,
yes, much bigger.
Almost like business development and
yes.
Personal development, for sure. And when you say chart your course today, what do you mean by that, Eleanor?
Well, I've come to realize whatever we are thinking deep down inside of ourselves, like when I took that initial public speaking class thinking, oh, if I only had enough information to share, I'd be a public speaker, but that was laid to rest for many years. Just really, you know, let all those thoughts come out one day. Take time just to yourself and think about all those dreams. How can you make it a reality? Chart a new course, what I should have had on my website. But you can chart a new course at any point in time. You're never too old. And there are always ways around to make something happen. It just takes brainstorming with trusted others, creativity, and being open to new ideas. It always reminds me, I just fell in love with that song by Susan Boyle, I Had a Dream.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that that song, when she sang it with such heart and with such
yes.
vulnerability, caught on all over the world so quickly, was showing us that everybody's yearning for that. Everybody wants to be a dreamer. They just don't dare know how to say it or how to get started.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the truth. And it really starts from, like you said, your intuition, and then knowing what your long-term vision is and what you really want out of life. If you could have anything at all, regardless of your current situation, just you alone in this world, what do you want it to be? And I came to realize, too, after the accident, only we can live our own life. No one can do it for us, even close family members. We have our own destiny, and it's the choices we make to make it happen. So why don't you, you know, make the best out of what you have and what you can give the world. That's my philosophy today.
I love that. You know, we are, let me check time here. I just want to make sure we're on course here. We've got about a little over 10 minutes left. And I really wanted to focus on your books so that you could, you know, talk about Hired, because there are so many people right now who don't have jobs, and I'm wondering if some of your techniques on interviewing might, you know, be very useful. Maybe you could, you know, talk a little bit about that, your book, and maybe some useful tips to people listening, you know, so they walk away with some information that might help them.
I'd be very happy to. Interviewing follows the sales cycle. And so, you know, one of the first questions, when you come in for the interview, you must be so busy or you must receive so many resumes. What stood out on mine that caused you to invite me in today? And then you can zero in on why you're there and what they're looking for. Prior to the interview, I'm not a resume expert, but I do know you need to read the business news every single day. Understand how the news might be affecting the company and where their stock is traded at if it's public, because everybody likes the thought of getting rich, and know how they're doing against their competitors, how the clientele might different if it's the same. And you want to read the website in depth. Get as much information prior to the interview as possible. So it shows that you're a serious candidate, willing to do homework and do what it takes to get the job done. And, of course, you need to figure out, do people dress like Mark Zuckerberg in the company, you know, in a sweatshirt and undershirt, or are they professionally dressed? And you need to mirror pretty much the same or maybe a notch up. And then you wear something that you feel really good in. Practice speaking in front of a mirror. And the reason I keep coming back to public speaking, because people are watching that your body language, facial expressions, and gestures are in alignment with the words coming out of your mouth. And also look to see that you're smiling. Your smile is one of the most effective tools. They're two powerful tools, the smile and the thank you for allowing me in. And at the end, thank you for having me in today. I really enjoyed the conversation. While you're in on the interview, it'll come out in conversation that you've done your research and you can relay why you're interested in the job. It's a two-way conversation. The error I see most people making is that they sit there as a victim. Yeah, I got bills to pay. That's why I'm looking. There's no excitement in their voice, and it's pretty monotone. Again, goes back to practicing your short story. Who are you? Why are you looking for a job? And why do we believe you can do this job? So think of a time where you had a difficult challenge and put some energy into this story. Just keep it 1 to 2 minutes as to the problem you encountered, the solution you came up with, and the result you had. And as you start talking about the solution, you start picking up the excitement, and the result, you're really excited. And everybody was thrilled with the job I did, and I got an award, or whatever the case may be. But it shows that you're really involved in what you do.
What if you walk into that in your... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was going to play on the high energy there, because I can hear your energy right there, and I can hear the energy in the interview, and I can see the smile, and I can see everything that you're saying visually. But what if you're the person in there who's like, I'm here, I haven't had a job in 15 months, I'm desperate, my family's been evicted, and and you're like that. Are you going to get that job?
No, that's why I'm saying you've got to put all of that aside. The most important thing to know about an interview, it's not about you anymore. When you step across the threshold for the interview, it's about how you can solve the company's problem. They have an open position. You don't know how long it's been open, why it's been open, what's going on with the company, and it's your job to find out. And when everything sounds reasonable, it's your job to show you're the best candidate for the job, and you've got to do it with conviction and with vigor so that they buy into what you're saying. If you're sitting there, gee, I really need the job, I'm desperate, then, you know, it's going to be next.
Yeah,
they want
somebody who's
motivated.
Yeah, they'll probably pick up on that energy level too. But I was wondering, do you think people on the other side of the interview chair can spot desperation anyway, and you just have to be self-confident over it? Or do you think you really can you be genuine in those moments? Or never?
I believe you can. I believe you can. You just need to, some people might need a thought adjustment before they go in. I find exercising before gets the adrenaline going. And think about the bright spots in your life. There has to be at least one bright spot, or at least the sun shining today. And think about that, whatever will put a smile on your voice and make it sound as if it's coming from your heart. You have to put your personal stuff behind you, that's baggage, as they say, and just really focus on the opening.
Yeah, I think
and
that's so important.
Believe it's yours.
I do. I think it's so important what you're saying, because right now in job markets like this, there can be 1,000 resumes in front of somebody for one job. I've seen lines for jobs. I've seen my friend, when the housing market tanked here, all around the country, and then finally hit Maine, she was a housing inspector, and we were going on our walks every day, and she's like, I might have to go get like a waitress job to make ends meet. Or some other type of job to make ends meet. And so she went out and looked around and looked around and looked around, and she didn't even get hired like that. She's like college degree to the hilt and positive and everything. But there were so many applications for just a waitress job or just a job at, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? Just so, no matter what job it is, just tons of applications right now. And I'm sure it's very hard to be on, you know, like casting a movie. It's very hard to be on the other end trying to sift through all that information to see which candidates are the best. And probably smile and energy sets you miles apart.
Yeah, you just said the key word. It's very hard on their part. You know, oh, my God, this person has a PhD and the other doesn't, but sounds like a mover and shaker and is nice sitting here. See, part of it is, are you going to fit in on our team? Are you going to have the persona our company's looking for? That weighs just as heavily, believe it or not.
It's like it's almost like casting
apart. The best job I ever got was over my head, and I knew I had to scramble. But
me too.
I worked my way into it. You too. See?
Yep. Those are the best jobs. I remember just being like 20 years old, and my job at Merrill Corporation was just such a fun job, but it was so far over my head, it wasn't even funny. It took me 2 years to go into that job. I mean,
yeah, but you did it.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was a blast. I was there for like 10 years and everything, but I mean, it really was so far. You know, I my head was spinning for 6 months. You know what I mean, where you're just like, I really want this job, I really want this job, but oh, what did I just do, you know, kind of thing. But that's fun. Katie, you're quiet.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm just taking it all in. I just love it when we have vibrant speakers who are thriving in their lives and they've turned their life around after a pivotal moment. I mean, everything she's saying is so perfect. And one of the things that I'm resonating with is I do nonprofit fundraising, which is sales. And and the way that I have always done, or I do it now, is really what I'm offering, whatever I'm selling something to somebody, I'm selling them the opportunity to gain something they need. And for in nonprofit fundraising, it's to feel good about the fact that you're helping someone in a concrete way. So you can walk around knowing you've contributed to this world. And it took me a long time to learn that. But every time you're trying to sell something, you're really selling a service.
Yeah,
yes.
Like on Best Ever You, for example, that's like why we have Elizabeth's Best. You know, it's not just me going, here, you know, buy this, you know, but it's truly to something I really think might help somebody change a life. Something I, you know, like it could be as simple, Katie, as the clogs. Eleanor, Katie and I have the best clogs ever. They're black and they have this like fleece inside of them, but we've worn those clogs out, darn it. And we're clog sellers. I mean, people buy those because we love them and they change their life. For me, I personally love these clogs because they make me like 3 inches taller and keep my feet warm. But, you know, it's things like that where you can you hear, I'm doing this on purpose, because can you hear my energy change when I talk about something I love versus, oh, God, I got to go sit at the kitchen table and pay a bill?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My other phone's ringing. Yeah.
And you have to demonstrate you're going to be a fun person to have on the payroll, that they're going to enjoy being with you and getting to know you. That's the whole key. And the title of the book is Hired. That's a simple title. But it makes a huge difference. It really, really does, to boost your energy before you go in there and leave your problems behind.
Yeah. Well, we are, Katie, stay with me, but we're out of time, Eleanor. We've got just a couple minutes left, and I just want to take the moment to answer my other phone for a second and let that go. But just thank you so much for being with us. And I would just want to direct everybody to the website, Smooth Sail. You know what? That has got to be one of my kids. That has got to be one of my kids calling to get their baseball stuff. I'm so sorry at the end of the call. I'm on a headset on my computer, and my phone is right here. And it's distracting, isn't it? Sorry. Yeah, I'm just going to keep going. So smoothsail.net. Eleanor Stutz, we want to thank you so much for being with us and sharing all of your joy and, you know, all the things you have to offer everyone. It's just amazing.
Well, it was a very wonderful conversation with the two of you. And, Katie, I'd love to stay in touch with you, too. It was a wonderful conversation. Thank you both.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you
really
so
wonderful.
Much. All right, Eleanor, this is the part where we're going to talk about you a little bit, but I'm going to mute you and just say thank you, and we're going to close out the show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And Dr. Katie.
Oh, another one. Another wonderful show.
Oh, yeah, just a beautiful soul. I remember her from the Motivation Marathon, and she was just one of the speakers who just inspired me so much from her story. It was one of those.
Yes, and it's just another reminder of what we keep hearing about the importance of gratitude and the importance of every day making those choices that are the most authentic and best for you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I'll close this out on that, and I better get on the horn here and see which child called from school for their baseball.
Yes, go be a mom.
We have like four baseball games going on, and I can't ignore that phone call. I almost needed to answer it live on air. All right, lots of love. Thank you, everybody.
All right.
You know, proof that, you know, we're moms in motion here on the Best Ever You Show. All right. Happy birthday, Callie. Happy, happy, happy,
yay.
Happy birthday. Have a great celebration and take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for
Bye-bye.
Listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.